trying to find the motive. Why do what I do? Freedom ain't getting no closer. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen. The registration, cops patrolling. And now they done stop me and I get locked up.
They won't let me out. They won't let me out.
I'm locked up.
They won't let me out. No.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Reggae Bob. For those of you who haven't been listening for a while, you're on vacation, you haven't listened to the show for a while, our host, our divine sponsor, and the founder of this program has recently passed away after a short illness, Miss Ann Rose Pierce. But we are going to continue to hold the show down. It won't be the same, that's for sure. Nobody can do what Ann Rose did, for sure. But we're going to do as much as we can while we're here. Going to have an interview tonight with Oregon Action, an organization in town that helps you stay good and strong, gets your inner self going, and keeps you on the right track as much as possible. Build that strong inner self that you are. And have a little bit of news about Mumia Abu-Jamal coming up. And hey, happy Kwanzaa, happy Kwanzaa. Today is the second day, the second principle. Today, Kujikagulia. Chugikangulia, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Radio. Yes, right there. The sounds of Akon. Locked up. Won't let him out. See? That's a very, very true situation. Rehabilitation is not happening. Not a whole lot. Got a story coming up in January, or maybe February. You're going to hear some facts. It's just not happening. However much some of the inmates try. It's just not happening. They're not hearing them at the parole hearings. They're not hearing them. They're keeping you in there as long as they can. Once they get you in there, they're trying to keep you as long as they can. They don't want you out. Okay, up next, like I said, we have a guest coming in, going to call in this evening, and we do have him online. Appreciate him calling up this evening. We are speaking about an organization called Oregon Action. Hang on just a moment. We're supposed to turn those off. Okay, Oregon Action Network coming right up. Yes, sir. And with us is a representative of the organization, Mr. Les Shannon. How are you there, sir?
Good evening, Bob. Good evening, listeners.
Good evening to you, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
All right. Yes, we spoke a little bit earlier today, visiting over at your headquarters.
Yes, sir.
Or the Portland headquarters, that is. Because this is a national organization, is that right?
It's a statewide organization, Bob. We have an office in Medford.
Okay.
I call that a Rogue Valley chapter.
Rogue Valley. Okay. And says in the flyers here, the Oregon Action is developing leaders, organizing people on the downside of power to work together, building power, winning campaigns, making real changes in our lives and communities.
Yes, sir.
That sounds like you, sir. So tell us about yourself a little bit less in the organization and your part in it.
Well, the organization is a broad-based, multiracial, and multi-class organization. Most of our members come from all walks of life, and the common desire is economic, racial, and social justice. That's where we work with them. Our primary constituents are Oregonians most disenfranchised with political power. We organize people, again, as you said, on the downside of power, and our members own the organization through membership, which involves paying dues and having a voice in decision-making. Most of our issues are membership-based, or memberships have brought those issues out to the forefront. We attempt to organize and empower individuals so that they may speak for themselves, their families, and their communities for a common good. About myself, I became involved with Oregon Action through one of their programs that they had going this summer called Clean Slate. And what that did primarily was allow people with some indiscretions in their background to kind of clean up their records at a minimum charge.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time that I became, or wanted to get this done for myself, I was too late. They had already ran through all the people that they were able to help at that time. And so I thought that what they were doing was such a good thing in and of itself, and the organization about what they represented, that I decided kind of at that time that I might become involved full-time in social service issues and involved with trying to help folks and myself do some good things for themselves and others.
Oh, yes. Now, when you said you were late, did you get up there? Did you get in that long, long line that I was in? Or?
Well, I became a volunteer, Bob. I wasn't able to obtain any assistance, like I said, but I decided that I would volunteer.
Yes.
To get an inside track at what organizations like Oregon Action was doing and how they were relating with the people. So I was in the line from very early to very late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a long, long line. I got up and I didn't get seen that day either, but later on I get that letter that a lot of folks did. We get that letter to come down to the courthouse and take care of whatever. I had a little traffic thing working on. It couldn't help me, but it was a gallant effort.
Yeah.
Couldn't help everybody, but it took care of a lot of people.
Well, they helped a lot of people, and it was a fantastic thing because a lot of the things that folks aren't able to take care of with regard to paying fines and that type of issue, just the fact that they were able to do it on that day, it brought so much just relief in folks' lives. There was people coming out of there crying and just extremely happy that some of these burdens have been lifted off their situation.
Hmm. Okay, I like the part about they did a lot of voters registration. They did a lot of voters registration action, did Oregon Action.
Yes, they have been involved, and we are continuously involved in registering voters so that people are in a position to speak with stronger numbers against certain rules and laws that affect them. We're an ongoing campaign as far as registering voters and getting folks involved in voter-owned elections and that issue.
Oh, yes. And one thing I was surprised to hear last week, you know, I'm not the most educated person. I'm just about the man on the street as anybody else. But had the show on cable last week. One of the hosts, Joanne Bowman, she's with your organization also. She mentioned that ex-offenders have the right to vote here in Oregon. As soon as they get out the penitentiary, they can sign up to register to vote right away.
Yes, I became familiar with that myself, and that is a good thing. I hope that more brothers and sisters that are incarcerated take advantage of that, because we need to hear from folks that haven't been voting. we need to come together in numbers and speak out on the issues that are affecting us.
Oh yes, and once that's a big project process. Once you're able to vote, registered to vote, and you're a citizen again right away. If there was any doubt before, you're a citizen, so you're able to do the things you need to do and get yourself nice and strong with the org in action. So yourself, Les, do you have a background? Do you have any type of?
I have had some problems with authorities, I guess, in my past. And it was quite the barrier once I was actually paroled to readjust in society.
Okay.
A lot of my perceptions were just wrong. And it was very trying just getting into the groove of society's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It was patience and the belief that I would succeed, and succeed in my case. The first step was just not being involved with issues and situations, and that was something that I had and dwelt on constantly, just to keep a good attitude.
Yes, because one thing for sure, those authority figures are always going to be there.
Well, they're always there, but at some point, you know, the decision is really with the individual.
Yeah,
that is one that folks can make beforehand, before they actually get here, because it's tough enough as it is, but if you haven't made that decision that you actually want to be about some progress and want to be about some good things, then that tends to make the struggle that much more intense.
Les, you're so true, Les. Oh, you listen to KBOO Radio, listeners. This is KBOO Radio 90.7 in Portland and up and down the valley and up and down the gorge if you're listening. Yes, it is so important, like you said, no matter what organization you're in or authorities are around you, it's most of the time up to the individual.
Mm. Bob, I'd like to talk a little bit about something that's going on that we're working on regarding drug-free exclusion and prostitution-free zones.
Yes, yes, yes.
Have you heard much about that?
A little bit. The man on the street, I've heard it's there. I don't know the boundaries exactly. I know if you step in there, you might get arrested. How's that go?
Well, the laws or the zones were first started in the early 90s. And they were placed in areas that had unusually high incidences of, drug transactions, buying and selling, and in the prostitution areas, high incidences of prostitution. And what was established of the zones itself were established with the participation, I believe, of almost 15,000 citizens originally. And now the zones are being established for the most part by a small group, and it seems to be primarily the city council. The mayor is involved in the process also. He may have the last word.
Okay.
It seems almost as if also that the laws surrounding the zone itself are now, the mayor has a new proposal, but what's alarming about the laws are it seems that the police are actually dictating how the laws are written, and which is a problem for those folks that it's affecting, and that's our concern. That the laws themselves discriminate primarily against minorities and people of color. The folks primarily affected by these laws, as the numbers that the city has shared with us, have indicated that. Most of the persons that actually receive these citations, 60% are minorities.
Mm-hmm.
The proposed exclusion changes that the mayor is proposing, they are different, I guess, in some sense from the original exclusion, but they still leave a lot of subjectiveness in their writing. It seems as almost still there doesn't need to necessarily be any evidence that someone has done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Police are able to detain people for the most part, on site. They have defined, in the mayor's proposed exclusion change, they are defining that you can have permission to travel, and our position at Oregon Action is we no one should have permission to travel. Everyone should be able to travel freely in any area of the city.
Oh, yeah.
And these changes, the rule itself is wrong. It's similar to a system in South Africa that they had where they were issuing, they call them, I believe, dompas.
Dompas, mm-hmm.
And they were travel permits that were required by the African population. All men over 16 were required to have them and show them wherever they might travel in the city.
Hmm.
I have talked with one South African man in particular. He told me how the Dompa itself was similar to the variants in that they impacted his psyche, that even before he would leave his home, he would feel intimidated because of anyone that might ask him, well, where is your pass?
Yeah, and, I can see that.
And that might occur at every stop he might, in every neighborhood that he went, he could possibly be asked, well, let me see your pass.
All right.
And this is a similar type of proposal that they're proposing for the city and the residents of the city who have this problem.
Okay.
Now, the business association, they're proposing renaming or acknowledging 82nd Avenue as the Avenue of Roses or Boulevard of Roses.
Sounds so sweet.
Now, it does sound sweet, okay? The business association is making this proposal, but the city council is attempting to determine who's going to bloom on this street. Everybody's not going to be able to bloom on the street
of
roses.
Right, because they're setting out some boundaries again, huh?
Well, the boundaries are, from all I'm understanding, I had thought that they were going to be from 82nd Avenue and Sandy until 82nd and Crystal Springs.
Okay.
I believe that the area that they're proposing is about 2.63 square miles.
Okay.
It seems to be expanding just on the strength. They've had three city hall meeting types with the mayor and the city council and citizens from particular neighborhoods.
Oh.
And it's been fairly interesting. There's been a lot of input from both sides about why they should have these.
Okay.
What I think a lot of the neighbors that are proposing that are on the side of this is they're not understanding how it impacts community members. I've talked with folks in communities where these zones are established, and I'm hearing things that, well, teenagers don't want to venture out because of the extra concentration of police.
Yeah.
Their friends don't want to see them because of this. Their parents don't want to let them out. I've talked with adults who have told me that they believe that the loan rates that they are receiving from financial institutions, they've even been informed that they're higher because they reside in those zones. And I don't believe that the community members who are really trying to advance this issue really understand how it's affecting their neighbors and other communities.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Les, we're getting to the last couple of minutes of the show here. Sounds like you really are up on what's happening with the exclusion zone. This is very important subject matter going on in the city. Again, that's the Oregon Action. What do you call it? Program? Network? What do you call that last part?
Oh, well, it's an organization. It's a nonprofit, a business. That's what I would call it.
Okay.
It is just an organization, a nonprofit organization.
Looking here at the meeting dates, they meet the second Monday of each month?
Well, the second Monday of each month, we have a board member meeting.
Okay.
Public? Well, the public, we have had public attend those meetings.
Okay. The next one is January the 9th?
If that is the second Monday, yes.
January the 9th at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.?
Yes, and we asked if they would call beforehand just so we'd know kind of how many folks might be there.
Gotcha. Okay, the website is oregonaction.org.
That's yes.
Oregonaction.org.
Yes.
The email address to the place is info@OregonAction.org. And you, Les, did you have an
yes.
email you wanted to give out?
I do have a web address. It's LLGENESS@yahoo.com.
Okay, so you are the man in there on the exclusion. What do you call it? Exclusion?
Just exclusion, yeah.
Exclusion project. All right. Thank you, Les, for calling in, checking in, like you said. And, you've done a lot of good. There's some people listening right now. They've got a lot of insight, and they're going to check things out. The phone numbers are on the website there at OregonAction.org. Thank you, Les, for calling in.
Hey, thank you, Bob. You guys are doing some great things.
Oh, man, we hang. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yes, indeed. Oregon Action, keeping up, keeping strong. We'll be back in just a minute. This is KBOO Radio, Prison Pipeline. And with lots of hard work and dedication, for sure. As stated earlier in the month, Mumia Abu-Jamal's case is going to get a hearing. He has the court is going to hear his case. He has three counts of why he says his trial was a mistrial. And they didn't even have to hear one case. They're going to hear three different reasons why his case was a mistrial. That's January 17th coming up. And his defense is going to put it on. After that, well, hey, they got 30 days to make a decision. Up next, Mumia Abu-Jamal himself.
Harold's long walk from death row. The name Harold Wilson doesn't ring many bells, at least not yet. That's because neither his conviction nor his exoneration has led to many headlines. And other than his family, people in his Philadelphia neighborhood, or folks on death row, his name was a cipher, virtually unknown, until now. In mid-November 2005, Harold Wilson walked away from prison and away from the long horrors of Pennsylvania's death row after a Philadelphia jury fully acquitted him of not one, not two, but three counts of first-degree murder. Convicted back in 1989, Wilson spent nearly a decade on death row before a lower court threw out his death sentence for ineffectiveness of counsel. It would take four more years until his new trial was granted because the DA used unfair and unconstitutional methods to choose his first trial jury. The Philadelphia prosecutor violated the Batson rule by improperly removing blacks from his jury. Surprisingly, the DA didn't appeal his new trial ruling. It would take several long, torturous years, but in late 2005, a full and fair jury decided what it took 16 years to prove, that Harold C. Wilson was not guilty, and thus he was acquitted. According to the Death Penalty Information Center, Wilson became the 122nd person found to have been wrongfully and erroneously convicted, sent to death row, and freed, released from prison. What led to his liberation was DNA evidence which showed that blood on items said to have connected him to the crime scene didn't come from any of the victims, nor Wilson himself. What a difference a jury makes. Wilson's freedom, coming as it did just days before the legalized lynching of the late Stanley Tookie Williams, shows us that just because one was convicted doesn't mean one is guilty. Harold could easily still be in cage to the bitter confines of Pennsylvania's death row if some little things happened differently. That's because the DA has held that the jury error could be traced to one bad apple instead of the entire office. The DA who recorded a video learning tape for new DAs told them essentially how to get around the U.S. Supreme Court's 1986 Batson versus Kentucky decision by using hook or crook, by lying to the judge, by feigning illness, all tactics to be used to find ways to exclude blacks from jury participation. He decried black jurors who were from North Philly, especially black women, and only found one or two blacks, preferably old or from the South, would be acceptable. That prosecutor was Harold's prosecutor, and for that reason, it was difficult to deny his Batson issue. But of course, that wasn't the only case in which such tactics were used. Indeed, in the Batson decision itself, the late Justice Thurgood Marshall pointed to several cases from Pennsylvania which argued that it was perfectly acceptable to kick blacks off of juries. And as we have seen, even after Batson, Philadelphia prosecutors have sought to find creative and unique ways to craft all-white or predominantly white juries by striking blacks off. 16 years in the dungeons of death row to hear the words he should have heard in 1989, not guilty. What does this say about the system? That it's slow, but it works? How do you repay 16 years in hell? Harold Wilson takes a long-awaited walk to freedom in a truly fair system. He should never have been caged in the first place. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal, author of We Want Freedom, A Life in the Black Panther Party.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan.
You gotta admit, it is quite the deal that Sir Mumia Abu-Jamal is able to obtain his right and keep that right over the years of getting his weekly address or biweekly address put out there. So many other places he wouldn't be heard, other places he'd be not breathing anymore. So I'm glad he's hanging in there. His hearing is January 27th. Coming up next is Amanda Jams. I'm Reggae Bob. I'm out. See you Thursday when we do the Good Times Year in Review. Thank you for listening to KBOO. Oh, yes, and Ann Rose Pierce family, Sir Donovan. If you're listening, Sir Donovan, we need a phone call from you. If you can, call Reggae Bob. Thank you for listening. K-Boo, and if you have any issues or things going on, prisoners or prisoners' families, you can give me an email at reggaebob, just like it sounds, reggaebob@comcast.net. reggaebob@comcast.net. Issues or things that you want us to check out and visit your family. People, if you got people on lockdown, visit your family. They need your support. Send them some gifts. Send them some uplifting books for prisoners. Oh, we out.
I'm just saying, down, somebody's down in the concrete jail. And nobody gives a damn, 'cause most of them are black. Down, somebody's down in the concrete jail cell. Nayora gives a damn. I'm not forgetting anyone. Love will be deep within always. How can I have faith no more? Judging me on a 110 scale, way over 20, this man saw. Peace and love is the same to him who created all of us. I will show that I am a king. Liberation of myself is a must. I'm just saying, down, somebody's down in the concrete jail cell. And nobody gives a damn, 'cause most of them are black. Down, somebody's down in the concrete jail cell. Nayora gives a damn. I'm not forgetting anyone. Dirty toilet seats, unsanitary, hasn't been flushed for weeks. Terrible environment, can't even sleep. Police brutality, still it alert. Hey, Oja, this ain't nothing sweet. A warden have to tell you what time you must eat. The food look rotten, I can't food and meat. And all you're thinking about the office flirt. What is going on? And you feel as though The only way to get out is to sell your soul. Not becoming farmer and a play spiral. The system has so many traps like so. Look how many get life for not doing nothing but putting up a fight against a silly game that Babylon call life. That's why the dynamite is up to blow. I'm just saying, down, somebody's down in the concrete jungle, and nobody gives a damn. 90% is black. Down.